Side Notes, Volume 23, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. In this edition of Side Notes, I'm calling on all the media in Buffalo. Just let everybody know that I had, Craig doesn't even know this. I reached out to the Sabres PR department, asked them for a media credential for the season-ending press conference, and
shockingly, I don't think they would let you in the building, buddy.
Shockingly, we were denied. That's no joke. We had press passes last year, and we never went to one game. Our two seats were like sat in the press box. It said like after the whistle, they gave us the press passes and everything. And then we didn't even try to reapply this year, but I definitely know that we're not getting them next year. But because I guess just, you know, the reality is that there's got to be some very thin skin down there, because the truth hurts sometimes. And the truth, unfortunately, can cost you some relationships. But, I mean, I guess I'm not in the business here of making friends. I'm in the business of telling you what I see, how I feel about this team. And if that hurts feelings, I'm sorry. I've had my feelings hurt several times with people saying things about me as a player and other things, and I have grown much thicker skin. So, you know, maybe there's some life advice for some of the others that can't handle the truth, literally. You can't handle the truth. You're right. I can't handle the fucking truth.
Why do you think right now that we are doing a podcast in the first place, Petey? In your eyes, why are we?
You and I are doing a podcast because I think it got to a point where being muzzled was weighing on us emotionally. Not only did we just get fucked in a business deal, okay? We got legitimately fucked. So, like, when people write and they're like, no, we know why GR and everyone fired you, that doesn't even faze me, because it's one of the most proud days of my life to be able to say, no thanks, I'm going to go on my own way. Respectfully, too. And I was very proud of how we handled it. Very classy. Very classy. So, that's why. Because we were not allowed to tell the truth. Or no, that's not true. We were not allowed to speak, tell how we felt. Same thing.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of the same thing. But I think that's kind of exactly why we're sitting here today doing the After the Whistle podcast, is ultimately having the chance to express what we feel and see. You know, both of us have been playing hockey for a very, very long time. We've, now that our careers are over, we've been, you know, doing this and watching hockey for quite some time. So our opinions, I wouldn't say are better than others. I'm just saying that I think people out there that are fans of this team look for the truth. And I felt in our last position, our last job, that, you know, we were not in a position. We were being told what we could and couldn't say because you wanted to toe the company line. And for me, I have a hard time with that when I can't express, you know, something as small as, you know, a person in the game before didn't back check and you can see it on the tape and it caused a goal against. We weren't even allowed to talk about that.
Or your young star franchise player blows off a group of kids.
There's a lot of things, and it built up over the course of many, many, many years. But it brought us to this point here today, 3 years in doing the After the Whistle. The first thing I'm going to say before we get into the press conference at the end of the year and questions that we would like answers to, you know, my biggest thing, and I think you feel the exact same way, is we both played in the NHL, we both played for different teams, and we are here living in Buffalo because I've loved this city. I loved my time when I played for the Sabres. I loved the people in this city. This is a very, very insanely passionate fan base. And I have dealt, along with the the fan base. I have dealt with the same, you know, anger, just sadness that we are not in a position to play in the greatest time of year, which is the playoffs.
It's not sadness. It's just fucking annoying.
No.
There's a lot of emotions. Because you know what?
I say annoying.
It is annoying to watch Don Granato the other day before the game say, I'm happy we're in this spot. Because in order to get to that next level, you need to go through these situations and sugarcoating everything. I'm happy we're in this spot. Really? You're happy you're in this spot? You're happy you're in this spot because you have a fucking contract extension. And don't ever say otherwise. Because if you didn't have a contract extension, you don't have a job. So don't fucking say that you're happy that you're in this position. No, it's part of the growing process and we're going to get through
I wasn't going to go angry today.
Well,
I don't think we should go angry today.
Because I think we've been sold a bill of goods, man. We just get sold the same shit every year. And that's why this episode is about. It's about the fact that we aren't allowed in that press conference. So I want the media to hear this and I want them to ask some questions. I got some questions for them to ask. Here's the first thing. I sent out a tweet the other day from our show, Craig. And it said, should Terry Pegula be present at the press conference? Will he? No. Should he? Absolutely. It is time for him to answer to this because
why wouldn't the president of this organization,
the owner, you mean?
No. He's not the owner.
We don't have a president.
Yes, we do. It's Terry.
Oh fuck. No, that's whatever. That's, I mean, a real president of hockey ops. That's what why wouldn't the president? Go ahead. Go ahead. Why wouldn't he?
I'm asking, why wouldn't the president of the Buffalo Sabres, why would he not be in attendance at the end of the year with the coach and the GM? You would think that your president would be there also to answer questions about the season, whether it's a great press conference at the end of the season or you know, a tough one. I think you would want your president to be there. He's part of the guy. He's making decisions. That's what presidents do. They make the decisions. They're in discussion with the GMs. I think Terry Pegula has to be there, but I don't think he will be there because last time I remember Terry being up at a press conference table, he was saying that he was going to bring a championship to the Buffalo Sabres. That was 13 years ago.
My question would be, are you putting the proper amount of resources into building a
stronger... Is that a Terry question or is that a Kevin Adams question?
Well, Terry writes the checks, doesn't he?
Okay, like, but
Kevin Adams would have to go to him and say, hey, first of all, he'd have to say, Terry, I'd like to hire a president of hockey ops. How about a larger scouting department?
Okay.
So Terry Pegula won't be there. Kevin Adams, Don Granato will be there. What are some of the first questions you would ask?
I would want them to explain about what their focus was before the season even started.
Like, what did they expect to happen?
What was their thought process starting the season? So you thought that you were going to bring in Devin Levi, who's a 21-year-old goaltender, and there's not been a 21-year-old goaltender that's ever come into the league that has ever taken over a number one position who's not played in the league before. So why Devin Levi? Why are we thinking Devin Levi is going to do this? Why was there not, like, why, for an example, was there not a plan of development for Devin Levi? Or did Devin Levi go in with a gun to their head and say, I'm not signing with this team unless I play in the National Hockey League. If not, I'm not signing. Like, I don't know the conversations of how that all works. But I do think that Devin Levi should have played a full year in the minors. I said that right away. And when I saw that you're going to have Devin Levi, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, and Comrie, that to me threw a red flag, which I did not like at all because I don't like the three goaltending tandem. Did they feel that truly this was a playoff team, the youngest team in the league? I guess there's so many questions that have to be asked before what you're doing moving forward. I would like to know what was their thought.
Think they're happy with the season results? Like when someone says, are you happy with how the season went? And we're going to get the answer of, you know, there were some things that could have changed. You know, we could have won if you get, you know, and they're going to, we're going to get that runaround. I mean, Don Granato said in his pregame before Washington that he was happy with where he's at. And I just don't understand it. I mean, I guess the first question is, are there going to be any coaching changes? He's going to have to tell us right there on the spot if Don Granato is coming back or not. Not we are going to assess it. Because if you say we are going to assess it, then that means you don't know if you have the confidence in this guy to be the guy going forward. And there are a lot of good coaches available right now. So you have to make that determination right away. Is Don Granato coming back? Are your assistants coming back? Because you made a huge mistake.
Well, I will say this.
For the season, by not adding someone to your bench, you lost a major element there.
Hold on. I think at the end of the season, when the season is finished, if Don Granato is not let go within 48 hours, he's going to be back. If there are assistant coaches that are not removed of their duties within 48 hours of the end of the season, they will be back. Because I think you don't have to wait to go over this and make a decision and what. No, I mean, Kevin Adams and Don Granato speak daily, multiple times a day. Do you not think that they have a plan? If Don is brought back, which most likely he is going to be brought back because he's got a 2-year deal still that starts next year. So Kevin Adams most likely is talking, there has to be change. There has to be change, Don. So we might have to make tough decisions. I'm just saying hypothetically. Like, you're talking about there's a lot of great coaches out there. Well, go get some coaches that actually have experience. Like Rick Tocchet was hired in Vancouver. He had already had a stint in Arizona as a head coach. He goes and hires Mike Yeo, who was a head coach for two different teams, one in St. Louis and one in Minnesota. He goes and hires him as an assistant coach. That is a great pickup for Vancouver Canucks. Right? You go and hire Adam Foote. Adam Foote played 1,400 games in the NHL, has won a Stanley Cup, who is an absolute warrior throughout his entire career. He may not be a guy that has been coaching for years, but he is a guy that I would feel comfortable with bringing him into the environment. So all I'm saying is this. Don Granato, if he is back, I think is going to have to make some tough changes. And if he can't make those tough changes, then they should all be gone. Here's a few things that are coming up at Seneca.
For all you fight fans out there, UFC 300, watch for free. Alex Pereira versus Jamahal Hill, Saturday, April 13th, 10 p.m. at the Sports Lounge.
Jay Farrow will be coming here April 26th and 27th.
That's 8 p.m. at the Seneca Niagara Bears Den. Also, here's a country band that everybody loves. They even mentioned Buffalo in one of their biggest hits. Big and Rich will be here at Seneca Allegheny Resort and Casino Saturday, May 25th. And the last one, and Craig's favorite, the Seafood Spectacular at Seneca Buffalo Creek.
Yummy.
And that's available every Thursday. For information on everything else going on at Seneca, go to SenecaNiagaraCasino.com.
Nothing else comes close.
What about personnel? How many new players does he need? Does he feel he needs to add some toughness to this roster? Where is he at with Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen's contract? What's the goaltending duo going to look like next year? Are you looking to add on the back end? That's another question that needs to be asked.
I think the question that I would have is what, you know, Henry Okiharyu has to be re-signed. He's a restricted free agent. He's had a solid year this year. You know, and Kevin's never going to tell you this, ever going to tell you this, but like, what are your thoughts on the defense corps? Like, do you feel that you should be adding a different style of defenseman on the back? Is that something that you'd be interested in? Kevin's going to answer it. He's going to be like, you know, I'm pretty happy with our defense corps this year, you know, this and that. We're still growing as a young group. And that's all true because the group that they have is still extremely, very young. Even Henry Okiharyu is 24. He's older, but he's still a young defenseman. Still room to grow. Bowen Byram, Dahlin even. He's 23 years old. So there's a lot of growth that still needs to happen on the back end. The back end with Samuelson in the lineup would be very strong. It'd be a very strong defense core.
Okay. All right. I still think they need to add something big and physical.
That's the okay. Discussion you get into there is Samuelson in your top four? If Samuelson okay. in your top
so
four,
what is
then
another...
you have Okiharyu moving out of the top four, and maybe he's a tradable piece to go get a physically demanding brand of type defenseman.
Okay. So what is another question that you think absolutely needs to be asked?
What is your thought with a forward line? Is there going to be a look for a third line centerman? That'd be my number one. It's the most glaring thing. You can talk about, hey, go add toughness on the fourth line. Fourth line is irrelevant until you get the third line centerman and solidify your third line. You need to know who's on your third line. Because your first two lines are pretty much going to be signed, sealed, and delivered. Your third line, you need a third line center. Peyton Krebs, I don't believe if you are going to be a team that is vying for a playoff spot and wanting to move this organization forward, I don't think that he is the guy. I think he's a good player. I think he can play in this league. I don't think he's the third line centerman that this team needs.
I think this season was an absolute failure. Last year, you missed by 1 point, and this year, you cost yourself. Like, last year was an anomaly. You had players this year that way underperformed, and you still almost got in. That is a massive failure by the general manager. I'm sorry.
They had an opportunity with a very young team that, even though they missed the playoffs by 1 point, the entire fan base, the entire organization, all of the players left Buffalo to go home for the summertime to start their training and everything else. Every one of them had a really positive vibe to them. Okay. There was a lot of positivity. That's where you identify that, yes, I have the youngest team in the league. I need to bring in and support these young players with better players. Not going to sign guys that are really good teammates. Like, no offense to Tyson Jost, but how? You got put on waivers. No one picked him up. He had a marginally okay end of the season with the Buffalo Sabres, a very average team. And you sign him to a one-year deal for $2 million? That is a problem. Why were we even signing him? There were other players out on the market that you could have paid that we needed desperately in this organization. And we just go for the happy guys because he's a really good teammate and we got a really, really friendly environment and everybody gets along. There were some poor moves made. I'm sorry. It is what it is. You have the youngest team in the league and you decide to bring in an 18-year-old kid that you never thought would make the team, but you bring in an 18-year-old. And we're praising this kid because he has 10 goals. He had a great season. I'm a big fan of Zach Benson. The reality is he shouldn't have been here this year. There should have never been a situation that an 18-year-old kid drafted 13th overall should have made this team. And now you look back, the three goaltending situation, the lack of bringing in the right defense, no thought of bringing in the right forwards in the bottom six. Like,
I mean, Kevin Adams isn't going to fire himself. Terry Pegula isn't going to fire Kevin Adams. The only changes that I could possibly see would be Matt Ellis going up top, and you bring in two new assistants on your or three assistants to put on your bench. I don't know, that have maybe a little more clout, NHL experience, whatever the case may be, to surround Donnie, because Donnie's not going anywhere, because they're not going to pay a coach to walk away. So maybe that's something that happens. But any other team, any other franchise, heads would be rolling. 3 years, same results. Last year, failed attempts.
This team's so close. This team's so close. So close.
And I believe that if we had a coaching staff that could have implemented a really strong structure, I think we'd be looking into the postseason this year. Give me one more question that has to be asked for you to be satisfied.
Are the expectations in the 2024-25 season, are the expectations for the very first time in 14 years, is this the year that you say to everybody here? Because last year at the end of the conference, they did not commit to it.
They tiptoed.
They did not once commit to say, yes, we are going to be a playoff team next year. They tiptoed around it. And guess what? All their players feel it too. Next year should be a goddamn expectation that 1,000% Don Granato, if he's back next year, needs to change his style of coaching. And that's okay. You're going to sit there and talk about, well, this guy's learning and he's developing and this. Don, you're a rookie coach. I hate to say it, but you're a first-time coach in the NHL. You're going into your fourth year. You need to evolve as a coach. You need to learn as a coach, because the team you had 4 years ago is not the same team as today. So you need to coach differently. You need to evolve your coaching style in order to get the best out of these players. These kids, they're not kids anymore. I know they're young, but they're not kids. The standard is winning. You don't produce, sit on the bench.
Yeah, and I think you said it. They need to say it. They need to put the heat on themselves, because last year they danced around it. The players said it, because the players, that's their mindset. But when your management and coaching staff can't say it, there's a problem. So I think next, at the end of this press conference, everybody in Sabres fan base, everybody in that organization, from the ticket sales to the president of hockey ops that we don't have, the expectation and the sole purpose for the Buffalo Sabres existence next year, Terry Pegula, is to make the playoffs.